Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 224.
This week on the podcast, Russian hackers could have warned us they were fixing the election before we waited 90 minutes to vote. Selfish.
And Donald Trump leaves no stone unturned in his search for the least competent cabinet in history.
Plus pop quiz, which one of the following is a human invention and completely imaginary? A, climate change, or B, the value of a dollar?
And every minute that passes on Earth is a minute in which Donald Trump's carrier deal gets less impressive.
Plus, Labor endorses in the DNC dogfight that decides whether or not we have a party anymore.
And finally, move over, guacamole! There is apparently one Texan food that Ted Cruz enjoys, and now you'll never be able to again.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm sort of Lila.
I was about to say, I should have just introduced you. We're trying to save every single word that Lila has right now because she's only got so many in her.
I'm at 80% laryngitis.
Oh no.
And I'm pulling through for you guys.
Yeah, so we have a couple weird noise potentials tonight. One being Lila's voice.
Right.
And the other...
It's going to be weird the whole night.
And we have Ray Ray here.
Right.
Normally she's not here during the recording of the podcast. But she had to be tonight because I came straight here from work and I had to, picked her up first,
but she's
here. So if you hear dog noises, whatever those may be, that's why.
It'll either be me or it will be Ray Ray.
I was gonna say, yeah. Oh boy. So guys.
We had to do the podcast because it's been such a crazy week.
I mean, what is happening here?
Nothing that we could have predicted.
No, nothing. Well, no, not really.
Although
this Russia thing, Hillary Clinton warned us about this not long ago.
And I was actually saying to my parents that I think that actually worked against her because she sounded like a crazy conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, she sounded so nutty.
She could have won by not ever mentioning Russia and mentioning some of the things she should have mentioned, like what she'll do for middle America's working class.
No.
But instead, she harped on what was, now we know, a real threat was hacking into our elections.
Yeah, exactly. And it's causing some weird bipartisanship, actually, too.
Yeah, well, so at this point, basically everyone except for Donald Trump is on the same page that Russia hacked into the elections.
I know.
What we're not on the same page about is a lot of people are not discussing openly the fact that Russia hacked into both the DNC and the RNC's servers and only
Rens
released...
Rens Priebus is claiming that that didn't happen.
Right.
But
Obama has ordered an investigation into the cyber attacks. He's asked the intelligence community to deliver their final report before he leaves office.
Yeah.
And some of the reports are already suggesting that Russia interfered not just to wreak havoc and, betray our trust.
Right, but to put their finger,
But to actually affect the results.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
And that's, so I think Washington Post has already reported that the CIA did a secret assessment and found that the Russian government interfered purposefully in the results of the election in Trump's favor.
What we're hearing is that, I think there was somebody was quoted as being that is the consensus within the intelligence community.
Exactly. Right. And so that's led to some interesting, Trump replied by being I don't believe it.
Right.
Because that's what he said.
I mean, if there's anybody who would sort of be fine with, talking badly, talking about the CIA, it would be Trump.
I mean,
he sort of has spent the entire campaign ragging on all of our institutions. So,
now we have John McCain has come forward as well as Richard Burr.
Right.
Even
Mitch McConnell, right?
Well, Mitch McConnell finally signed on, but
John
McCain and Richard Burr, John McCain is the head of the Senate Armed Services Committee.
Right.
Richard Burr is the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee.
Right.
They kind of started their own effort. And today, finally, Mitch McConnell signed on to that effort to look into what happened because, John McCain's not trying to let a Cold War.
I was going to say these are guys
this
who
is a Cold War.
Who, yeah, exactly.
Problem,
bunch
and he's
right
going to solve it the Cold War way.
Right.
I was saying to Brent, I was like, maybe we're part of the USSR now, and Russia just won the Cold War.
I know.
We finally have
we
a
thought
resolution.
It was over.
We thought it was over. It wasn't. We lost.
Russia's been secretly continuing it for the last three decades.
We might have to gracefully accept, we finally had to admit we lost Vietnam, and
that
now we
Russia
lost the
literally
Cold War.
Just installed a leader.
Into our, that's Russia winning the Cold War, you guys.
That's what we do, damn it.
Exactly.
Who install world
think
leaders
they are.
In other countries.
So rude. I like, though, where Trump's team has been going with this, because they have since released a statement saying these are the same people that said Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction.
I mean...
They're just trying to, wreak havoc in the system by reminding all of us that the intelligence community has lied to us before, which is, I think, actually a genius strategy for them. But
it is, but also
too bad this is all going on.
Don't do that, though.
I know.
I don't understand why that works for anyone. I mean, he's not wrong necessarily, but also how does that
But he is wrong because not a helpful conclusion in this case.
Yeah, exactly.
Just because they lied once in a different administration doesn't mean Obama's, intelligence community is lying to him. But this isn't the first time that foreign hacking has happened in the campaign cycle. This is certainly the most meaningful time. Yeah. But in 2008, campaigns for McCain and Obama were bombarded by what people suspected were Chinese hackers who were after internal policy papers. And then hilariously, in 2012... And this was back when Gawker existed and reported on things.
Yeah,
they reported that hackers had broken into Mitt Romney's personal Hotmail account by correctly answering his backup security question, which is, what is your favorite pet?
Oh, God, Mitt Romney, you fucking idiot.
I know.
Oh,
but I think, Obama is concerned that Russia's involvement will never get sort of adequately addressed or punished if these investigations aren't done by the time Trump takes office. So, but it's been California reps that have been really leading the way on the Democratic side.
God,
it's Adam Schiff and Dianne Feinstein.
Yeah.
Like
nice.
Our own congressman really doing the thing.
Nice. I know.
I've been noticing a lot of the
Dianne.
She's great on gun control sometimes, and periodically she accidentally sticks her nose into the right issue. But otherwise, I'm not even sure what she's doing other than having very outdated hair.
Yeah. Oh, God. Seriously.
They've been pushing for it for a while. It was Steny Hoyer actually sent a letter this week that got kind of reignited the issue. So now we have a group of electors who are asking for an intel briefing before the Electoral College votes as
Hey, I mean, they have to vote a week from today, I think, right? It's December 19th. And
if it turns out the results of the election are illegitimate.
Yes,
now, this is a primarily Democratic-led effort. The one Republican that's involved has hated Trump the whole time. I don't know why he's an elector for the Republicans.
I don't know. I don't even know how that works, to be perfectly frank. Well, probably should, but I don't.
No, I mean, there's no. You don't know how it works, though. That's the point. That's why we're mad at the Electoral College.
Right.
I mean, Bill Clinton is an elector.
Yeah.
Why somebody whose wife is running for president should get to be an elector is a question. Yeah. I feel like that's a conflict of interest, but okay.
Yep.
But this is... The electors, by the way, who have filed for this, one is Nancy Pelosi's daughter, Christine. Mm-hmm. One is Carol Shea Porter, who used to be a congresswoman and is now returning to Congress. They sent an open letter to James Clapper, who's the director of national intelligence. But of the 10 people that are involved in this letter, it's all of the New Hampshire electors, and one of them is named Dudley Dudley. And then the one Republican is this guy, Chris Suprin, who is an emergency responder. From Texas.
Yeah.
And he's the only GOP person on the list, and he hates Trump, and I'm not clear on what he's doing, but I'm for
neither,
it.
But God bless him.
But they're basically asking to get temporary security clearance so they can get updates on what's been going on with this Russia situation.
Yeah. How is that going to... That seems like...
Well, because electors also vote in their own states, so it's like...
As much as I feel like they probably deserve to have something like this before they're going to pick who the president is, and they're sort of like the last fail-safe we have to like... not
stop
have Donald
apocalypse?
Trump as our president. I also sort of like don't know that I want, like, if this is actually classified for a reason, I don't know if I want Dudley Dudley getting the information from the CIA about what's going on with
How
Russia.
Do you get
like,
the second
I just don't,
Dudley. You have
I
one Dudley
know.
In your name.
I know, right?
Why choose the second one?
I don't know.
Change one of them. It's so easy.
It's so easy. Yeah.
It's how all of us ended up not being named Brent Brent or Lila Lila.
I know.
It's,
well, Ray Ray is here.
That's true. But Ray Ray is Ray Ray Thornburg.
That's true, yes.
Ray Ray has
She's
a double
Ray,
first name.
Ray, Ray.
She's not Ray 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 Ray. That would be too much. In any case.
Oh, God.
Continuing on the Trump theme.
Right.
More cabinet picks have been announced.
Yeah, we've been bringing you all the latest cabinet picks.
They've been increasingly terrible.
I was going to say, they just keep getting...
It's
richer and richer as
it's like
we go.
It's getting funnier and scarier
and
at the same time.
Exactly.
Funnier in the sense that Linda McMahon, as in the CEO of WWE, has been picked to lead the Small Business Administration.
Well, Donald Trump is a WWE star,
I
lest
know.
We forget.
He
fought her
husband, their Hall of Fame.
Vince McMahon,
right,
on television once.
He sure did.
You probably have seen the clip of that.
I have now.
Do it immediately.
I mean, I hadn't until I had.
No,
until this week.
No, that's right. Yeah.
The Small Business Association is supposed to provide support to small businesses in terms of loans and making sure that they get federal contracts, things like that. I don't know that somebody who runs
a giant
enterprise like WWE.
I know. Yeah, right.
They're saying it's because she helped it grow.
Oh, sure.
She was an early Trumper. She ran for Senate in 2010 and failed to become a senator, not surprisingly. Yeah. So she's
interesting because basically every Republican who ran for Senate in 2010 won.
I know. So, she was like basically the only one.
So she must have been a real fucking failure.
It was Connecticut. I don't know why she was even bothering to be in the race.
Why do any Republicans run?
Exactly.
That?
Yeah. But so in any case, so that's who we have for the Small Business Administration. Not a particularly important appointment, but disappointing. No. The guy who he chose for labor secretary is just a giant slap in the face to anyone who works for a living.
Basically. Exactly. I know.
Because I'm not convinced this man does. He certainly prefers, he would prefer that a robot be doing your job.
Yes, he definitely does. He's the CEO of Hardee's and Carl's Jr.
Yeah, CKE restaurants.
Mm-hmm. Yes. He also doesn't have a great record with women, so it's no wonder that he and Trump get along so well. He's sort of responsible you've probably
seen
all
the allegations.
Yeah, and also you've seen those Hardee's commercials that are like, you know, very, very sexy, like, you know, with the sauce dripping all over, you know, half naked women or whatever.
With,
So he's responsible for those and his sort of...
Yeah, because those sell, he said.
That sells.
You know? That sells.
That's right.
We were trying to sell the burgers to young men.
Yep.
That sells to young men.
Yeah.
He's basically, via op-eds and appearances, been trying to roll back all of Obama's attempts to improve life for labor.
That's right.
Essentially. You know, Obama had these overtime rules that have been now blocked by courts and no one really knows what's going to happen to them. But, you know, he, beyond the overtime pay, he tried to expand minimum wage for federal contractors. He gave them paid leave. And things like that that have... In the Obama context, can only be applied to federal contractors.
Yeah.
But Putzer has been there writing angry shit about that from the beginning.
Yep. Oh, boy.
And he's also been, he's one of those people, and I hate this argument, that uses the argument that overtime rules hurt workers because then their hours get cut. He's like, you don't have to cut their hours. You can just pay them for the hours they work then.
That's right. That's what
and
you
also,
do.
If they're going to get the same pay for fewer hours, that's still a better deal than...
Yes.
Having to work more hours for less money. Like,
yes,
that
exactly.
Logic doesn't follow.
No, it doesn't.
It follows if you have a healthcare plan that's tied to you needing 30 hours of work.
Sure does.
That's maybe a gap that we could address if we didn't have an asshat running the Labor Administration.
I agree.
Here we are.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, he did an interview with the LA Times where he said that he wasn't opposed to the minimum wage in principle, but... is essentially opposed to in practice.
Right.
What he ultimately said.
Exactly. Sounds like a great idea,
It's not a great idea.
Right.
And then in the same interview, he basically talked about why companies should just hire robots and forget about labor. Because robots don't get sick.
Right. He's also claimed that food stamps discourage poor people from working, which obviously is...
But it's funny because he's running one of those companies that benefits from public welfare programs pretty dramatically.
Oh, of course.
And so I don't understand how he thinks that they're going to get people to work for those wages without these programs
without
available
the programs.
To them.
I know,
it's like he doesn't want to pay for them, but he wants us to subsidize his own workforce.
People don't understand or do understand and don't care how those systems are sort of, you know, directly tied to each other.
Yeah,
I mean, if you don't pay people enough that they can feed their family, then they have to be on food stamps.
It's the Walmart model.
And you, yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's why the Waltons are so rich.
Yeah.
Because we're paying for their health care, their employee health care, and their employee food, basically.
Right. Yeah.
He doesn't have no experience with the Labor Department, because like most fast food chains, he's been investigated by them. So
many times.
Something like 60% of the Carl's Jr. locations that have been investigated by the Labor Bureau have had infractions.
Yeah, many violations.
Those are mostly franchises, but...
Yeah.
Not a company famous for their fair pay laws.
Yeah.
So in any case, basically any progress that we saw under Obama in terms of labor, we're about to see unprogress. We're about to see, I mean, this is the sort of modern dawn of the corporate robber baron.
Totally.
And so they're just going to robber baron until we stop them. So we have to stop them.
We have to stop them. Yes.
I mean,
they're not going to stop themselves. That's the thing about robber barons.
They don't have a lot of self-control.
No.
They'll crash the economy, and as long as they get richer, they don't mind.
Yeah.
2008 in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, my favorite news story of the week was when Giuliani supposedly pulled his own name from Secretary of State contention.
That's not what
happened. Giuliani didn't decide to himself, you know what? I'm not right for this job.
No.
And you shouldn't pick me.
No, they didn't.
Giuliani was told by Donald Trump, you're about to pull your name from contention.
Yeah.
And he was like, what's in it for me? And Trump was like, nothing.
Nothing.
And Giuliani was like, okay.
You get to not be in my administration.
Exactly. I'm so curious, though, where all of these ex-Trump loyalists are going to go. Like, Chris Christie is out, Giuliani is out, Newt Gingrich is out.
It's so crazy.
And those guys play dirty, and they're also, they have so much more political experience than he does.
Well, and I read something interesting, too, about the people that he's been bringing in for these jobs, because he has recently met with, like, just today, he met with Rick Perry, he met with Carly Fiorina, and he's, like, meeting with all of these, like, old rivals of his, who he sort of, like, has said nasty things about and have also said nasty things about him. And then, as we're about to talk about Secretary of State, and we know that we now know that it's not Mitt Romney. Is he playing all of them to like come in for an interview, say nice things about them, and then he gets to embarrass them by not giving them the job?
Well, as the Washington Post put it, he's essentially running it apprentice style. He like parades them in front of the press,
right,
he wines
totally.
And dines them. He has their picture taken in an awkward place where they're eating frog's legs. And then you know, they have to they have to find out they've been rejected yet again.
Yeah, exactly.
Not only by the American people, but by the choice of the American people. You know, like the whole thing is television.
It is. Yeah.
And so now, instead of a person who knows anything about foreign policy or diplomacy, we're going to have the CEO of ExxonMobil.
Right. As the Secretary of State.
It's basically as good as done, we're hearing.
Yes,
from our sources. I don't know who they are.
We love to bring you breaking news. And by the time you listen to it, it won't be. But it's breaking as of literally about an hour ago as we tell it to you.
And it really...
Mitt Romney has officially posted on his Facebook page.
Oh, wow.
That it's not him.
It's not him.
No.
Yeah. So I guess that was a wish and a prayer that went unanswered.
It was.
This really keeps the Putin love theme going, though.
It does.
Because this guy is close to Putin.
Very close. Yeah, he's been given the highest honor that Russia gives to non-citizens.
He's basically close to any leader in any region that is uncomfortable for me that they're close. Like, because he's an oil guy.
Yeah.
So it's the Middle East and it's Russia.
Yeah, exactly.
He pulled out of Venezuela because him and Hugo Chavez were not seeing eye to eye.
Right.
Not surprising. And so all of his interests are in regions where we don't have great diplomatic relations.
And the thing that I find interesting about this, because I was trying to think of, on some level, I get this in the sense that he has sort of spent his entire life as a, quote, deal maker, which is how Trump has been trying to sell him. But so many times, I mean, ExxonMobil has its own foreign policy.
Yeah.
And oftentimes that foreign policy...
And it's a multinational conglomerate.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
not an American
no,
company.
No, exactly. I mean, the reason that he's friends with Vladimir Putin is because he's made deals with him that people say have been worth $500 billion.
Exactly.
So he does know how to do this, but his own corporation's foreign policy is oftentimes at odds with United States foreign policy.
Well, exactly. And it's not sounding like Trump or him are seeing the distinction here.
Right, exactly. You know? We have... The U.S. has told him... specifically on numerous occasions to not do specific things that he has been like, hey, America, fuck off. I don't care about you.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting person to have running.
ExxonMobil has a lot of interest in Russia.
Yes.
And
tons.
As the U.S.'s relationship with Russia has disintegrated, they have been continuing to try to kind of push U.S. foreign policy in a pro-Russia direction.
Yep.
And here we are.
Yeah.
He did it.
Yep.
Now Russia's won the Cold War thanks to him.
That's right.
It might not surprise you that our Cold War favorite, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, both uncomfortable with this choice.
Yeah, this is going to be another one that
so
many of these.
How this goes.
I'm concerned about this because we were talking at one point like about Jeff Sessions.
Right.
And we were talking about how we hoped the Democrats would make a huge deal out of that.
But who's going to have the energy?
Because he's a racist.
Right.
But they are going to have to, I almost feel like on some level, Trump is just sort of like daring them to challenge every single one of these guys.
Because there's not a single acceptable pick
in here. On some level, there's a very clear and reasonable reason, and not just because you differ with the person on policy.
Right.
But like an actual reason that like they
this
would
man
be
has
like.
Clear conflicts of interest.
Right, exactly. Same with Jeff Sessions, who I just said, you know,
he's
a racist and he's going to be running the Justice Department. I mean,
having a fast food boss run the Labor Department.
Run the Labor Department. But they're going to have to pick their battles here because like,
Will they?
Now, or will they?
I mean, they're Democrats, so they will because they're not going to be smart about
this. Right, they might pick the wrong ones.
They're going to pick the wrong ones.
Right.
I would contend they don't have to pick their battles.
Well,
they could have all the battles.
Well, I would agree.
I mean,
but
I think for the media
cycle,
they're going to have to pick their arguments.
Right, exactly.
But I don't think that they have to pick their battles necessarily. I think that they should come out strongly against all of these and not let him bully them into acquiescing to,
I agree.
You know, things that are really putting, because there are going to be a few, like Kathy McMorris Rogers is being talked about for Interior.
Right.
Who cares about that? That's fine. Like, there are going to be a couple that we can play nice on.
Yep.
Because they're ideological choices, but not crazy ideological choices. But like, this is not an acceptable choice for Secretary of State. This man is friendly with an enemy of the United States and has economic interests in opening up our relationship with them. Like, that is not that is not a man who's in it for the people.
Yeah. I think this is probably a smart one for them because I think especially if they continue to have some Republican support. I think that's where they can probably make some headway. I'm not saying that they shouldn't make a big scene about some of these other people just because they don't have Republican support.
But there's some Cold War people left in the Senate that they can get riled up about Russia.
Exactly, yes. And I think that if there's enough of those people, which there probably are, because if we know anything, it's that Republicans are just a bunch of old
stuck in the past,
that are stuck in the past. Yeah, exactly.
Although not these new Republicans. Well, they're young and they're assholes.
That's true.
They're not even clinging to a old logic. But even
Marco Rubio, who was a young asshole, tweeted that he was, that this was not a good pick. Today.
Well, and he's also talking about for Deputy Secretary of State John Bolton, which is nobody
crazy
likes.
As they come.
And it's a dumb mustache.
Dumb
on top
mustache.
Of it.
I mean, he and Terry Branstad can go around mustache. All over the place. Yeah. The governor of my former state is the ambassador to China. Yikes. Which leaves them with the.
Because they had a sister city relationship.
The lieutenant governor, who is now our first female governor. Oh, right. And she's
nuts.
Wacky as they come. Yeah. I mean, truly.
A nutbag.
That's upsetting. Anyway, but they both have awful mustaches.
It's an epidemic. The Trump administration is going to be filled with horrible hair of all sorts.
I know.
It's a nightmare. Meanwhile, curveball.
Yeah.
Trump has also been in the process of picking all of the worst people for everything, and we're going to talk about how he's about to do that for the EPA as well.
Right.
He also met with Leonardo DiCaprio, who runs an environmentalist group.
Right, exactly.
The Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation, whatever it is, to talk about climate change. And in true Trump fashion, they left thinking, well, this guy heard us, because Trump hears everyone. He just forgets as soon as he's done hearing.
But unfortunately, Trump heard someone else before he had to pick the head of the EPA.
Right, which was somebody
that's the problem. You want to be the last person to speak to him.
You want to be the last person to have spoken
to him. And unfortunately for DiCaprio...
Right, these people can speak to him till the end of time. They're never going to be... Mike Pence is going to be the last person to speak to him, and that's where we're running into trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
If we could get Obama to make a last-minute phone call every time Mike Pence talks to him about something, I know. We could head off some of these problems.
I know, exactly.
But they said they're going to meet with him again in January. Like, he's, like, agreeing to meet with them. He met with Al Gore.
Here's the thing, and you have talked about this.
Then he appointed Scott Pruitt to be the head of the EPA.
Yeah.
The same day.
I know. We've talked about this in the sense that you have said for a long time that Trump has just sort of always wanted to sort of like be accepted.
It's an empty vessel. He just wants to be loved.
Right, exactly. And this is, I think, similar to that in the sense that he just wants celebrities. He just wants, this is like an attention thing.
He's got Al Gore. He's got Leonardo DiCaprio. He wants them to love him.
He got to meet with Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, that's really what his game was here.
Absolutely.
I mean, it wasn't to have Leonardo DiCaprio tell you something about the environment. He didn't care about the environment. He wanted to meet Leonardo DiCaprio.
It's going to be interesting to see how these celebrity players are able to use their influence just by being celebrities for good. I mean, I'm hoping that his desire to be loved by Leonardo DiCaprio will result in Leonardo DiCaprio getting meetings.
But apparently what DiCaprio said, as you mentioned, fell on deaf ears because the EPA pick is a
climate denier. A climate change denier.
Yeah.
He's the Oklahoma Attorney General. That should give you a clue as to how terrible he is.
They're currently having an earthquake epidemic right now because
he doesn't care. Right, but not related. He's basically been one of the key architects of all the legal battles that Obama's climate change policies have been facing. He's one of a bunch of Republican attorney generals who have been in alliance with a bunch of energy companies to basically push back against everything that Obama has done on the environment.
Yep.
So, obviously, the fossil fuel industry was thrilled.
Sure was.
But the people industry, less thrilled, because people have to breathe air.
Right.
They don't just burn gas.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be a nightmare. But this is another one that I feel like a man who doesn't believe that the environment needs to be protected is not necessarily the appropriate person to run the EPA. But I also think this is going to be a hard one for them to form a good argument against, because it truly is the ideological sort of like place of the Republicans that there is no climate change. Like, this is an ideological difference. It's he's in line with what the Republicans think about climate change.
Oh,
it's just that they're
for sure.
But I think maybe if they can tie it to the energy industry thing, and we can tie that to Russia.
Yes.
We could totally wipe out the political influence of energy if we tie them to Russia hard enough.
Right.
And I think let's do it.
Right. Well, it seems like it's gonna be fairly easy to do it.
I know. They're making
they're making it simple.
They're making it too simple.
Yeah.
But if you're wondering why so many robber barons are being chosen.
Right.
It's
because that's specifically who he is looking
by
for.
By plan,
yeah.
He's not looking for people who have any experience with government agencies or government work of any sort.
He wants billionaires.
He wants billionaires because they're successful.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, why he wants people who made a fortune.
Uh-huh.
He said it's no different than a great baseball player or a great golfer. I mean, we want people that are going to bring, he said, and then lost his train of thought. But essentially, he was talking about people who are going to bring success to you.
Yeah. But this is definitely going to be the wealthiest cabinet in history.
Their combined net worth so far is $14.5 billion.
Yeah, and it's not filled yet.
Income inequality people who voted for Trump, who are angry because their wages are being cut, I need you to think long and hard about what's happening here.
Yep.
And we're going to do some math together at some point when I have my voice back. Because
this is not helping you.
This is not helping you. It's not helping me.
No.
I don't have a voice right now.
No. So it's only helping
much more sympathetic than usual.
Them.
It's only helping them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all being done to help them. Meanwhile, one thing that's not being done to help us or them is any briefings.
Trump getting any intelligence briefings.
He's getting one briefing a week, and I'm pretty sure he doesn't even want to pay attention to that
No. Because he's smart.
He's smart, guys.
He's smart.
He doesn't need them.
He's bigly smart.
He's bigly smart.
Yep.
He's been asking for briefings on specific issues, but only when the fancy strikes him. So I imagine that his questions have probably been like, what about Benghazi? Like, I'm sure it's
I know, probably.
Like, you can't selectively decide what information you're going to know as president. Pence has been getting 6 briefings a week, which leads me to believe that he's running the country.
Yeah, well, that is no shock to me.
It's concerning, though.
Like, zero shock.
Right, I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's concerning.
I'd rather Trump be doing it, to be perfectly frank.
Much rather.
Because Trump is... As terrifying as that is.
No, but he's easy to manipulate.
Yeah, exactly. He's just sort of like a hapless... He'd be doing it sort of like Mr. Magoo style.
Yeah.
And I feel like at least that way, he'd sort of accidentally get it right every once in a while.
Right,
now, you
also,
can say all the... all the terrible things that can be said about Donald Trump should be said about Donald Trump.
And we're not claiming he doesn't own responsibility for his actions.
But the scary thing about Mike Pence is that he knows exactly what he's doing. And
he has the experience to understand how legislatively he can accomplish these
and
things.
And that's what I don't want, because he has the experience doing all of the wrong things.
Yeah.
So... Yeah.
Well, he's the wrong person.
Right. Exactly.
He's one of the wrong people. Yeah. That's his problem.
Yeah.
It's hard when you have such clean-cut looking hair and a face that's so clean-cut looking and you're wrong all the time.
I know.
People just inevitably put trust in you even though you're a wrong person.
Yeah.
You just don't know the right things.
I know.
Meanwhile, anyone who's an Apprentice fan who was worried about whether or not Donald Trump would remain affiliated with the franchise.
Still an executive producer.
He's going to remain an executive producer.
Yeah. Hosted by Arnold Schwarzenegger, by the way.
It gets wackier every
it does.
Moment. And
I might have to see how
but
that goes.
Of course it's hosted by Arnold. Of course. Who else was going to host it?
I know.
an ex-movie star / ex-governor of California.
Yeah, that's it.
Who's married to a Kennedy. I mean, there's so many confusing elements to all of this.
That's it.
And that was
He's the host.
He's the host. Yeah, that's it. I would like to see what kind of conflict of interest situation. I mean, I understand someone who I'm friends with on Facebook posted about this, and I agree with him on some level, that... Of all the business interests that Trump is not divesting himself from,
I know.
This is the least important.
Who cares? Yeah,
the executive producer credit is a legal structure. It's not really about his involvement in the
They probably are required to maybe send him a fine cut before it goes to air that he can choose to watch or not watch.
Right.
And they might not even be required to do that. It's just because he basically created
the
franchise.
It's just a way for him. Right. It's because he owns the franchise with Mark Burnett.
But because he's still the EP, he does get paid
for it.
So he's basically on the payroll of MGM, who... owns it, because Mark Burnett, who co-created it with
also
him, owned it
owns
and sold
some,
it to MGM.
Who are also affiliated with news networks.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's an NBC production.
And it's on
production.
NBC, exactly, who Trump has been trashing all over the place, left, right, and center because of SNL recently.
Right.
So he's still watching SNL, by the way.
Right, he's watching that more than he's getting intelligence briefings.
That's right.
But, yeah, so that's a concerning element of this, is the degree to which his media integration means that he has news integration in a way that wouldn't have been the case 50 years ago, but here we are, 2016.
Yep.
It's a wild ride.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Meanwhile.
This carrier deal, guys, is not good.
Nuttier and less good by the moment.
Yeah. First off, if all of his cabinet picks are going to be doing deals similar to this, then they are not good at doing deals. We already told you.
We know he's not, because this deal.
This deal was terrible. We already told you about all the reasons that it was terrible last week, because basically they just paid them millions of taxpayer dollars to get them to stay. And they only half of the employees are staying. And now we find out that $16 million of that investment is going to go to automation. So they're basically going to be replacing.
Taxpayers are paying this company to get rid of more jobs.
Exactly, yes. They spent $16 million.
So now nobody in America or Mexico will have the jobs.
Correct.
No people will have the jobs.
No one, right. Robots get the
robots
jobs.
Robots get the jobs now.
That's right.
So it's every week the deal gets worse.
It does,
the American people just paid a company to get rid of money for the American people.
Yeah.
Because the fewer jobs there are, the fewer tax dollars we get back for that investment.
Exactly. And now, on top of that, the union leader who represents those carrier workers is getting death threats because Donald Trump.
Oh my God. Tried and Chuck Jones is like one of the few good union leaders left. Chuck Jones is like a decent union leader.
I mean,
a lot of unions have gone a dangerous route. They've corporatized pretty heavily. Sure. They no longer really effectively represent all of their union membership
right. The
same way. A lot of teachers' unions tiered out a lot of their
younger
teachers, so now none of them get any good benefits anymore. Chuck Jones is like a decent, he's the president of United Steelworkers, and he's pretty decent.
And Donald Trump on Facebook hilariously blames Chuck Jones for all of these jobs leaving.
Yes.
He says Chuck Jones, who is president
of Twitter,
by the way,
not Facebook.
Twitter.
Don't
excuse
be
me.
Crazy.
I know, please.
It's Twitter.
He doesn't use Facebook. Mitt Romney uses Facebook.
Exactly.
Sorry.
He would.
He would.
Remember
exactly.
when he lost his Facebook account? His password? Anyway, continue.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay. So on Twitter, Trump said Chuck Jones, who is president of United Steelworkers 1999, sorry, has done a terrible job representing workers. No wonder companies flee the country. What? And then he went on. He said, if United Steelworkers was any good, they would have kept those jobs in Indiana. Spend more time working, less time talking. Reduce dues. Oh, yes, that's why they all. Yeah. That's why the jobs left.
The jobs union left because of union dues.
Oh, God. So, but immediately following that, Jones is getting death threats.
Yeah.
He said in an interview, he said, people have said, we know you have children, and we know the kind of car you drive, and they're calling me bad names on the phone. So,
like, leave him alone.
What's he...
Also,
it's not hurting you.
The labor movement, like, started in this country. We have a strong labor tradition in this country, and specifically in the Rust Belt.
Right.
For
it's
a
getting,
reason.
I know. And it's getting weaker by Republican design. But
on purpose.
I was going to say.
Don't let them turn you against the
unions. No, come on.
Remember who's in charge here. It's not the union leaders. He doesn't decide how much you're paid.
Right.
The bosses decide how much you're paid.
Yeah, exactly.
All he can do is say, if you don't pay us this much, we all walk. And they can either take that or leave that. But that's, it's not... He's not the one who's squeezing you.
Yeah.
It's the it's the head of the company that's squeezing you.
Exactly.
Speaking of unions.
Unions. Yeah. This is huge,
this
actually.
Is big,
this is a bit of a coup, I
think,
on
I think
a lot
so
of
too.
Levels.
I'm
because
excited.
The AFL-CIO endorsed Keith Ellison for the DNC chair last week.
And that's, you know, we've been, a lot of more traditional Democrats, if you will, had been putting their names in.
Right.
And
well,
labor
every...
is one of, labor is sort of like the corporations.
Right.
Of
every the... other person...
Of the left.
Right. Howard Dean, we told you last week, dropped out.
We should.
And there were only two other people who were state party chairs, I believe, of South Carolina.
South Carolina and I can't remember what other state.
Yeah. And they were, basically everybody else who's running right now are Clinton people.
Yes.
They were Clinton loyalists.
Like there was NARAL's president.
Yeah, exactly. So, and we also know that the Obama administration is sort of like actively trying to pick somebody who is not Keith Ellison to run in this role. So the fact that they would come out... early on this, or sort of early. This is
Labor knows what side their bread is buttered on because
exactly.
they saw us lose a
totally.
We just lost an election because we didn't rep labor very well.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they labor voted for Trump, not
exactly.
labor.
Well, and they
the movement,
also
labor the people.
This also happened after they sent around. They voted on this.
Yeah, well, that's what they do. They're unions.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean,
membership.
That's great. But I mean, like, obviously, this came back positively for him, which is no surprise. I bet. Some of them might have been, some of the union leaders might have been surprised when they got the results back.
I bet they were.
I'm not.
I'm not at all. No, and this is, labor has always been, labor votes are ours for the taking always if we represent labor issues. And, you know,
totally.
The left wing of the party, the Sanders wing, if you will, even though he's not technically in the party, represents labor issues.
Yeah.
Keith Ellison will be great for labor.
Yeah.
And he also is somebody who speaks to labor well.
Yeah. And one of the things that people have been sort of dinging Ellison for that I sort of even actually agreed with was that, you know, part of the reason that people think Debbie Wasserman Schultz did such a crap job was because she was a full-time congressperson.
Yeah.
And so they were like, this needs to be a full-time job. And Ellison last week said that he would resign his seat, which is
and this
kind
is,
of a shock.
I think it's also, it's a more important job for him because have the House and we're not close enough to having the House that we necessarily require his leadership in the House. It's nice, but it's not necessary. It's not like the Senate where we're close. And we really need to rethink our party strategy as a whole in a way that makes us viable in the House and the Senate. And if we don't have anyone who's coming forward from outside of Congress who has that vision, then
Keith Ellison's
going to have to
do it. I don't know much about his district, but I'm assuming that if they are voting for a lefty Muslim, that it's probably fairly safe.
Right. I don't imagine his district is a risky district.
Right.
But, meanwhile, the world has gone back to normal because Hillary Clinton is back to partying with rich people.
hey, you know, she took a little break. Take a month off. She had to
walk in the woods
and book shopping and probably, you know, crying under the covers a little bit, which, hey, you get to do that.
Patagonia fleece she's had for 20 years.
That's right. I mean, God bless her.
Yeah.
But now she's rewarding all the people who gave her millions of dollars.
Yes, by throwing them a fancy party in New York at the Plaza.
Yes. This was from Page Six, by the way.
It's rare that we get to pull things from Page Six. My mom posted this, and someone was like, this isn't real. And I was like, listen, I understand the post is ridiculous. But if there's one reputable gossip page in the city, it is Page Six, and this is an absolutely true story. I'm not going to live in a world where we pretend like Page Six cannot be trusted. That's nuts.
I know.
That's craziness.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's going to be happening on Thursday, supposedly, December 15th, so we'll know soon enough.
So if you want to hang out with Tori Burch...
Yeah.
Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
It sounds like a fun duo. But
in the article on Page Six, it says one insider said, hopefully there's no balcony so nobody can jump.
It does sound like the saddest party in the world.
I know.
Hi, our gloating ruined America.
I know.
Let's party.
Thanks for giving me all of your money that I wasted.
Exactly. No, just kidding. Thanks for all of us being part of a conspiracy that would destroy the lives of all the peons that we don't associate with in the first place.
Oh, God.
But yay, we're all getting richer.
Yeah.
Basically.
There was a lot of fake news in the news this last week.
That's all we talk about anymore is fake news.
A thing. Yeah, I'm sure you were following that. Here's the thing, you guys.
All news has a perspective. Like, be smart about how you read the news. Well, it's all fake or not fake.
Right. And we have talked about this on the podcast before. Like, yes. And news should have a perspective. Yeah, it's not doing its job if it doesn't have a perspective. But it should also be fact-based.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
And not just selective
fact-based. And that's where we get into some trouble here. And if there's one person who really doesn't like non-fact-based news, because he was sort of, you know, in the middle of it very recently when there was a story about him endorsing Donald Trump came out, it's the Pope.
Which is funny because his entire, like, career is predicated on a fairy tale. I mean,
well,
if anyone should appreciate fake news, it's the Catholic Church.
Right. They're peddling it.
That's been their whole business model for centuries.
Oh, in any case. God. But his quote is hilarious.
It's
not hilarious until you go to the dictionary to look
up
the main part of it.
But
he said, disinformation is probably the greatest damage that the media can do, as opinion is guided in one direction, neglecting, blah, blah, blah. He goes on. But ultimately what he says, to the sickness of coprophilia, which...
He's always wanted to communicate scandal.
Yes.
Communicate ugly things.
Yes. And if you don't know what that means, Merriam-Webster tells us it's a marked interest in excrement.
Yeah. Especially in the use of feces for filth or sexual excitement.
It's a fake news.
That's a word the Pope knows.
Poop.
He knows about poop.
Mm-hmm. He also knows the scientific word for it.
He's an impressive guy. He's one of the smarter popes. Meanwhile, sinkholes are striking up everywhere.
Oh my
Sinkhole
God.
Radio is back with news of sinkholes all over the world.
I sent you this last week in what I thought was a fairly timely fashion. And you're like, no, my dad sent it to me already.
Yeah, no,
your dad's the keeper of the
sinkhole
stories.
New York, and we just woke up earlier than you. So, like, of course he got...
No, I was in Toronto.
Oh, yeah. He got to it way fast. Like, I had known about it for hours by the time he texted me about it.
Damn it. God, Andy.
Yeah, no, he stays on top of the sinkholes for us. And because of that... We also know that there was a sinkhole in Pacific Palisades today.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
My mom emailed me to make sure I knew and asked if that would make me feel better. And I was like...
No.
She was like...
No. Certainly the Texas one doesn't because it had a death involved. Which is like, sinkholes can't be
A two-lane road
people.
Got swallowed. This God. Is exactly why I think you should stay out of Texas.
I know.
Texas and Florida are death traps.
I know.
I don't think
and
anyone died in the Pacific
Palisades.
Palisades
is lovely,
one.
But it's just too far.
It's too far. I'm not going to drive all the way over there, especially not if there's sinkholes.
I know. God.
But maybe the world
I've
will
ridden
end.
My bike there. I could have been eaten by a sinkhole on a bike.
So true. That's That's an easy bite for a sinkhole.
It is. Yeah. It could be a tiny sinkhole. Yeah.
Maybe the world will end, though, before January 20th. Maybe that's...
Oh, maybe.
So, the upside.
God, is the whole... Are we just going to all implode?
I mean...
Like, figuratively and
It's not better or worse
literally.
Than what's happening now, so.
Right?
It's either, yeah. If it's not one thing, it's Donald Trump destroying the environment.
Yeah, exactly.
So, in final news.
Oh, God. Ted Cruz is furious.
Ted Cruz, first of all, we should remind you, is a Texan who doesn't like guacamole.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
So he's like a horrible human being, as we knew.
Yeah.
Because we were calling him Beelzebub for most of the election cycle.
And, but he does like queso.
Which is, and I think, nicer than guacamole, but okay,
in
Texas.
A way that is very uncomfortable.
It's not good.
It's not great. There was a queso
A blind taste test of queso among the U.S. Senate Republicans.
Yes. No one knows why.
You guys, the Texas, they have jobs that we pay them to do.
Yeah, that's right. Like, it's not govern. Eat queso.
No.
I mean, eat queso on your own time if you want. I mean, sure.
But that's also the saddest party I can imagine.
Also, if you're from Texas, you can't be losing the queso battle to Arkansas because that's what happens.
That is embarrassing.
An embarrassment. Yeah.
But also, Ted Cruz had some things to say about queso in general that should make you queasy and possibly never want to eat queso again.
Yeah, exactly. So if you like queso, shut your ears.
Yeah.
Plug your ears.
Brent's about to read you the most horrifying quote about queso in the world.
He said, "It just tastes good. It speaks to the soul. Good queso relaxes you. Look. Cheese dip can be served on a Ritz cracker or with one of those tiny Vienna sausages. Queso is made to be scooped up with tortilla chips, dribbling down your chin and onto your shirts.
Gross.
One is a visceral, emotional, powerful family bond as you and your kids pour into nachos covered in queso. The other is party favors and an afternoon tea." I might have took some dramatic license with my reading of that. But those were his actual words.
I'm sure that's exactly how he said it, by the way.
Creepy,
we know him.
Though. Yeah, I mean...
Well, you don't look like the devil incarnate, so it's hard for you to affect the creepy air. It's hard to channel the kind of creepiness And in the interest of my voice, we're leaving out some exciting stories, but we recommend that you Google Pizzagate because it's getting funnier by the moment. The more crazy the right gets about it, the funnier it gets.
Also, there's recount updates.
We'll bring you some more next week. And also, Trump and Boeing are at war, the airplane company. And he's trying to tell them he's not going to let them build Air Force One now.
Yeah, over guess what? Some tweets,
So, and it was over them saying something about trade with China because they're, the biggest provider of airplanes to China. They're, account for all of our exports, basically. In any case. So, those are stories that we will either bring you next week or we'll post about them during the week.
Yeah.
But we consciously did not cover them.
Lila wants to continue talking tomorrow. So we're cutting it.
Exactly. We're cutting it close. But so that's the news this week. Next week we'll be in two different cities, but we will still bring you a quality podcast.
One podcast.
Exactly. It's unity in a nutshell.
That's right.
So we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.